Well, I'd like to give you all a very warm welcome to our Remembrance Sunday service this morning. Good to have so many of us here. We meet as a Christian service of worship, but we do so wanting with others across the land to pause and to remember the immense sacrifice that's been made for us in many conflicts over the years, and especially in the two world wars, conflicts which have secured our peace, but which have come at incalculable cost to lives, to families, through death, disablement, trauma and loss. In a moment we'll have a simple video which will play the last post and will lead us into our 2 minute silence. During our service, we'll have some hymns, some Bible readings. We'll have a short account of a family member's war experience. And we'll have a message from the Bible suitable for this time. After the service, refreshments will be served, which you're very welcome to stay to. If you feel the need to take young children out at any point, then there is a video link in the next room in the hall, and there is also a creche available. Well, there are so many times, there are so few times in life where we stop and pause, especially in the daytime, to think, to remember, to pray. But this is a very worthy time to do that. We owe so much to so many, and it's a good time to honour them. And it's a good time to give thanks to God for the peace that we now have. So please then do stand now with me so we can have the video which will lead us into the 2 minute silence before our first hymn. Thank you. Well, it's good to pray at these times, and we will have somebody lead us in prayer, Luke will lead us in prayer after our first song. But we're going to sing together the hymn, which is often sung at Remembrance Sunday services, which has been special over the years, and which reminds us in the passing of time and the passing of lives to turn our minds to the eternal God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come.
Bow our heads and pray to God. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you now, we pray that you will give us a real sense of worship and thankfulness in our heart. Lord, we come on this Remembrance Day with a heart full of thanksgiving for all of your goodness to us as a country and as a globe throughout many years. We thank you so much, Lord, for all of those who have given their lives in service. That all of those, Lord, who went to war, those world wars last century and gave their lives, who gave up everything for the freedom of others. We thank you so much, Lord, for their willingness and we thank you, Lord, for the overriding success of those missions to counter the evil that was at that time. Lord, we can't imagine the horrors that they faced, the things that they saw and experienced. And we thank you that we haven't had to personally experience that in our lives, but we remember those who have and the trauma and the difficulty and ultimately the death that they suffered. And Lord, at that time as well, it wouldn't have just been those fighting, but those that were left back at home, those who were worried about loved ones, those who had to take up so much other responsibility while others were away at war. And how difficult life was, and sometimes we can think we have it tough with the things that we are going through, but Lord, how much they suffered on behalf of so many people that they wouldn't even have known at the time. And Lord, we are beneficiaries of that, and we are so thankful that you helped and strengthened those people at that time, and for the willingness that they had. And Lord, as so much evil was around that time, as evil was so much at the heart of war. Lord, we thank you that they were trying to do good, even in those difficult and evil circumstances, trying to protect others. And Father, you have called us to be lights in a dark world. And we pray, Lord, that we will emulate those people who were trying to counter the evil at that time. May we never forget them. And we pray that our hearts will always be grateful for them. We thank you for Remembrance Day, that, Lord, year to year we have this time to reflect and remember those who suffered on our behalf. And may that always be the case. May for in the coming years that they will never be forgotten. And each year, Lord, we thank you for this reminder that we have. And Lord, well, we thank you for those who gave their lives in the past and fought on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for those who do so today. We thank you that all across all the different areas of the Ministry of Defence that protect our country. Lord, we thank you for servicemen and women who choose that as a career because they, Lord, they want to do their part. And we thank you for those who go and onto missions that we don't even know about and seek to do good in very difficult circumstances. And at the moment, Lord, we're very conscious and we see daily in the news how the wars are still going on and there is so much evil about and so many people suffering, so many people who have no say in this are the subject of war and suffering. And we thank you, Lord, that there are those who are seeking to do good today, who protect us and keep us and allow us to live relatively happy and easy lives when we compare it to those who are suffering in the middle of war at the moment. And we pray that may always be the case, that Father, you will be merciful to us as a country, that you will provide for us protection that we need. And Lord, we pray that that there might be greater peace around the world. Lord, we pray for those who seek peace and are in positions of influence. We pray that they might have wisdom to know how to deal with such sensitive and complex matters. Lord, we look at the wars in the Middle East and in the Ukraine, and Father, we have no idea how that could be sorted out. And so we pray for those who are involved, either by choice or because of their location. We pray that you will help them to make right decisions, and that by doing so, lives will be spared, and that suffering will cease for them. Lord, we also pray for those who don't want to seek peace, those who seem intent on going on the rampage and taking innocent life, who seem to have no regard for those children and families and people who are suffering, and yet, Lord, it's none of their fault. They are innocent in this matter, and we pray that you will soften those hard hearts of those evil leaders who seem so power crazy, and that, Father, you will open their eyes to see the damage and the hurt that they are causing to so many people. So provide wisdom then, Lord, for our leaders. And we have a new government in this country. We pray for them. Lord, they will have sensitivity and wisdom in knowing how to handle these matters, which ones to get involved with and which to not, and where to supply aid and arms. Lord, you can see how it can be sorted out, but the heart of man seems to be so intent on getting its own way, and Lord, what devastating effects that can have. So Father, we pray that you will bring peace on earth. It seems almost ridiculous to ask, but we thank you that you are the author of peace, and we pray, Lord, that you will bring peace to those troubled countries and those poor people who are suffering and losing their homes, their jobs, their businesses and families. We pray that you will have mercy on them and that you will bring peace to those troubled parts of the world. And in the Middle East, Lord, so much is so complicated. It's been going on for so long and so many people involved and so many schools of thought. But yet, Lord, we thank you that you overrule it all and that you can bring peace. There is a way. And we pray, Lord, that by your mercy, you might bring it. We would love to see that war is the thing of the past, that it's no longer a thing. But Lord, we fear that it's unlikely to happen when we know the state of our own hearts and how greedy and how evil we can be. And Lord, we pray that you will have compassion on those lives that are being torn apart. And we pray for those, Lord, who are suffering and it doesn't make the news, that we're not aware of. Lord, there are parts of the world that seem to constantly be at war, a civil war. And we pray that you will help them to endure. That, Lord, you will give them strength. You will give them peace and in their hearts. And, Lord, if possible, give peace in their countries too. It makes us think, Lord, that can there ever be peace all the time that people are on this planet? But we thank you that Jesus came and that he was called himself the Prince of Peace. And so, Father, we thank you for the love that you show, for the sacrifice that Jesus made, giving his own life on the cross, so people can be free from their sin and be free from the power of it and free from the power of death. We thank you, Father, that although we might never see peace in our lifetimes on this earth, that when the day comes that our lives come to an end, that we can have peace with God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. We praise you for that. And we ask, Lord, that everyone here this morning may know that for themselves in a personal way, that your love to them will be made very special to them. Lord, we look forward to the day when evil will be completely dealt with, when there will be complete peace, and that, Lord, we can be with you in heaven above. And for all those that put their trust in you, there will be a coming together and praising God and having an eternity of peace with you. And Lord, we thank you that for your word. And Lord, you have warned us that one day you will come again and you will enforce peace. And Lord, you will take your people to be with you, and those that are not will be condemned. But we thank you, Father, that you give us hope through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our plea this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that as Christians we can look forward to the great kingdom of God, where there is no death or tears, no darkness, no seas, Lord, nothing to divide us, but we can be together as one. And Lord, on a practical level, for each of us, not many of us hold high and powerful positions in government or in council, but we pray, Lord, that each one of us will be a peacekeeper, that, Lord, we will be we will help bring peace in our communities, in our families, in our workplaces, wherever it is that you have placed us. Help us to show love, to be forgiving. Help us to be soft-hearted and compassionate. Help us, Lord, to turn the other cheek. And, Lord, we pray that we will never be found to be the cause of conflict or disruption in the communities that we find ourselves. But may we be like Jesus, who set the perfect example for us to follow, and that we would do good. So, Father, as we remember then all these things this morning, we commit them into your hand. We thank you that you are God over all, that, Lord, even though you hold the whole world in your hands and keep it turning, yet, Lord, you also care about us on a very personal level. As much as we are very tiny on this earth and can barely be and feels to be so insignificant at times, Lord, we only have to look around us at the mountains or the oceans and we feel so insignificant. Yet we thank you, Father, that you care about each and every one of us, and that no problem of ours is too big or too small to bring to you, that you care about us all. Father, we praise you for who you are and all that you've done, and we commit this time into your hand now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we've got a reading now from Peter, thank you.
Well, our first reading this morning is Psalm 46, and you'll see at the end of three of the sections is the word Selah, and that means just to pause and think about what's just been said. And in this case, it's really to think about what's being said about God being with us and God being our strength. So Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. We will now have our second song, which is based on this psalm, and it's God is our strength and refuge. So please stand when the music starts.
To join the medical corps, but they were full, and the sergeant said, Join the Royal Horse Artillery. That's a real soldier's unit. I had no special ambition to be a real soldier, but less still to be in the infantry, so I opted for the Horse Auxiliary. After signing up, I suppose I was so excited that when he gave me the King's shilling, I spat on my bowler hat. Never mind, he said, you'll never want it again. Not very cheerful for my companion and wife to be. Sometime later, I was to join the 29th Division on Gallipoli, but they had evacuated and gone to France, so we had to follow after. It was a good thing we got our sea legs, as we had a really rough passage. Waves higher than houses coming towards us. But our boat gallantly went up one side and down the other. It took us a week to cross France to the Somme, and it was not a happy one, as we were crowded into passenger carriages, and at night there was no room to lie down. Later on, if we went by train, we were put into cattle trucks. There was much more room to lie down there. We were the gunners nearest to the infantry, although not very close. Usually, then behind us there were 4 or 5 inch howitzers, then 6 inch and 8 inch guns, and behind them long range high velocity guns. We had to make gun pits for our guns with big lengths of log, and then protect them with bags of earth around the sides, on top, and then had to camouflage them the best we could so that the enemy planes could not spot us. If they did, we were soon a target for their guns, although later in the war we didn't have the time to dig in. We just covered the guns with camouflage net. We fired two sorts of shells, shrapnel, which was timed to burst in front, and high explosive, which burst in pieces and sprayed in all directions, and could be timed to burst in the air or on impact. But we had to be very careful how we set the fuses, or they would burst too soon and kill our own men. It was a ding-dong affair. Sometimes they gained a little ground and sometimes we did. But all the time, both sides were losing life and limb. Their wives, mothers and children were left to mourn. It looked like a stalemate indefinitely. But one day a surprise awaited the enemy. 2 or 3 new tanks went rolling towards them with machine guns blazing, breaking through the barbed wire and crossing their trenches. Of course they had teething troubles and some crews were sacrificed, and the Germans soon had an answer. But it did tend to make this less stagnant. But the war didn't end quickly. Our casualties, for most part, were unusually light. We seemed to be spared so much, while others suffered so much. Once on a long march, we halted for a rest, and 3 or 4 of us wanted to make a cup of tea. But we didn't like it without milk, only there were some cows in the field by the road, and one dear old cow, she was so kind, she let me have a little in my mug. At one time, the camaraderie between my corporal and I was broken when he accused me of stealing his bread, even though I knew it was the rats who were guilty. After a bit, we moved to fresh positions, and the corporal and I were put on firing 2 rounds every 1/4 hour through the night. And he, for some reason, had become very thirsty. We were very short of water. They had to be brought up in petrol cans on pack horses and stacked round the cook's dugout and cook place for safety. Corporal was so thirsty that he asked me to creep along and get a can for him. I crept stealthily along in the dark, grabbed the first can I felt and brought it back. He was so thirsty he grabbed the can, unscrewed the top and gurgle, gurgle, it went down his throat. Before he tasted it. Then he spluttered and yelled, "It's paraffin! You did that on purpose to spite me for pinching your parcel." The night wore on and we were very quiet. Then, at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, he said he was dying for a smoke. Did I think he was safe? I had one more dig and said he had to be careful or he might catch a light inside. As he couldn't trust me to extinguish him, he decided to wait until he could get a cup of tea from the cookhouse. I have told some things in lighter vein, but it was a horrible war. Every day, many on both sides were being killed or maimed, and our own battery was exceptionally light in casualties. One day, we were subjected to a heavy bombardment for some time, and no one was hit. And another battery near us fared the same. A few minutes after, a stray shell came over and hit the ammunition at one gun of theirs, which sent it sky high, killing all the team. Another morning, I was setting fuses, which were a bit rusty, as we had been getting quite a lot of rain, and they had been exposed during the advance, which made it difficult to see the numbers. We didn't set the fuses wrong or our own men would have been killed, and I just could not see the numbers with my gas mask on. So I snatched it off and set 2 or 3 quickly. But of course the gas rushed into the mask immediately each time I took it off. But I don't see what else I could have done. 2 of us were gassed, but I didn't feel it until I had a mug of tea and some breakfast, and then I began to feel very bad. There was a dressing station 300 or 400 yards away, and we made for it. The other one person who did not seem so bad helping me along. On our journey to the base, I was unconscious for one day. We were sent across to Norwich Hospital, where I soon recovered. But the man who helped me was kept in bed a week longer than me. We had a very busy time advancing into Germany, and it was a great relief when one day we were on a line of march and messenger overtook us to say the armistice was signed. But the lads didn't go wild as expected. We had won. But what tremendous losses we had seen. So that's the end of Grandad's account. It was much longer in its entirety. But by God's grace, Grandad lived here in Crowborough till the grand old age of 92 and worshipped here at Forest Fold for all of his life. Thank you.
Our second reading this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26, in the Church Bibles, page 958. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Our third hymn this morning is Man of Sorrows, and as today we remember the many who have given their lives and sacrificed greatly for our freedom, this song reminds us of Jesus, his ultimate sacrifice for our ultimate freedom from sin. The Man of Sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man and the wrath of God has been on Jesus laid. Do stand when this music starts.
Thank you. So it's Remembrance Sunday, and we have remembered, and we want to remember those servicemen and women so desperately affected by the conflicts, and we want to do so genuinely this morning. But it's also a Christian service, so we want to have a message from God's Word that's suited for this occasion. And our basis for our message is going to be the second passage that was read to us from 1 Corinthians 11. Perhaps you notice that twice in those verses we had the word remembrance. Remembrance. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So these are the words which are used at what we call the Lord's Supper or communion. It's something that Jesus established before his death, and we have it here summarised in the letter of Paul. We had it read to us. And in looking at this, what I want to do this morning is to hold two things, if you like, side by side. I want us to be thinking, are those affected by the conflicts? And also from these verses and what has happening here, want us to be thinking of what Jesus went through. And we're going to do it in a number of steps. We start first with just we remember. It is Remembrance Sunday. And we need to be reminded of things like this. If you've got close relatives who died in recent conflicts, then I suspect it's something that's frequently on your mind. But for most of us, we can easily sail through the year, can't we, without giving much thought to the cost which has been incurred. We have the famous words written by Binion in the first year of the First World War. They're often repeated at this time of year. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. And we do, and we want to. What Jesus went through was also of epic importance. And it was something that should not be overlooked. It was something that shouldn't just flow by down the sort of river of history into distant past. So Jesus left a meal, and the point of it was to do it in remembrance of him. So we remember. And in doing so, we remember physical damage. We remember physical damage. The wars and the conflicts caused tremendous temporary and permanent physical damage to millions. Lives were changed. Bodies were broken. And thinking about this took me back to my Uncle Bob. Great Uncle Bob, to be more correct. Well, he was in the war. He was in Italy. He was a driver supplying the armed forces, and a bomb landed near him. He got shrapnel in his head, which stayed until his death, actually, and he was in hospital. I think must have been in Naples because he saw Vesuvius erupt. So it took me back to him, not so much because of his injury, which were comparatively light, but I used to walk with my great uncle Bob. He lived in the east end of Brighton, near the cliffs, and we would sometimes go for a walk. I think I was about 10 or 11 or 12, something like that. It was a time when Brighton Marina was being built, and as we walked along, there was a building on the left as we walked along the cliffside, and I remember him pointing it out to me. It's called St. Dunstan's, and it's on the hillside. And I remember him explaining to me that St. Dunstan's was a residential establishment for blind war veterans. So as a youngster, I looked across to that, could see people moving around on the grass, I could see people in the conservatory area, and as a youngster, I was being brought sort of face to face, I was brought to my attention that there were people whose lives had been totally changed by conflicts from the two world wars, and who'd lost their sight or had it impaired. They had a beautiful view, but most of them wouldn't have been able to see it because of the injuries they had. And loss of sight is just one of the lasting disabilities incurred, isn't it? People lost limbs, they lost hearing, they lost mobility, they lost appearance, they lost mental health. And, well, such things deserve to be remembered. And as we think back to Jesus, the Son of God, and what he chose to go through, it involved physical damage. In the Lord's Supper, and the way in which Jesus is instituted, the bread is broken. And it reminds us of his body being broken. It reminds us of the whippings. It reminds us of him being beaten with a rod. It reminds us of the crown of thorns. It reminds us of the nails piercing his hands and his feet. It reminds us of the excruciating agony of the cross. We remember physical damage and harm. But as we think on a day like this, we remember bloodshed. We remember bloodshed. More than just damage, so hard as it is and was, we remember lives lost, don't we? We remember blood shed. Life drained from people who were killed in the prime of their lives, expecting normally decades in front of them. And the poppies that many wear today or at a time like this are a reminder of redness, and they point to blood being shed. You may know that the fields in Belgium in the First World War were covered with poppies. Especially in 1915 it started, an abnormal amount of poppies in places like Flanders, and it continued during the war. It's thought that the bombing disturbed the soil and ploughed it up. It's thought the nitrogen from explosives and the sad fertilizer that came from the lost lives of people and animals all aided to this. And through the war period, there were fields of poppies where so many lives were lost. And it since stood as an emblem of sacrifice. Poppies remind us of people's lives lost. The Royal Festival of Remembrance, maybe some of you saw it last night or have seen it in previous years, BBC One in the evening on Saturday. At the end, poppies are dropped during the 2 minute silence. Sort of check the amount. 1 million poppies are dropped from the roof of the Albert Hall, flickering down onto the heads of the service men and women and onto some of those that are there. Very moving proportion of lives lost in the conflicts. We remember blood shed. But Jesus too sacrificed his life. His blood was shed. And that's remembered in the second part of the Lord's Supper, in the red wine. In the same way, he also took the cup of red wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So Christians, like the nation, have an emblem which takes them back to somebody laying down his life. Amazingly, you know, Jesus chose to do this. He said in John, "No one takes it from me, but I lay down my life of my own accord." He did it out of love. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. We remember bloodshed as we think back to Jesus. But we also remember the purpose. As we reflect today on lives lost in conflict, in bodies damaged, we aim to remember the point of their sacrifice. It's a sad thing, isn't it? A very sad thing where a sacrifice hasn't achieved much. And so many can look back at the loss of loved ones in conflicts and feel it was for a good cause. It achieved something. It's reflected in the epitaph that was originally penned by John Edmonds in the First World War, but it was made famous on the Kohima Memorial, remembering those who lost their lives in the Far East in 1944. Here it is. The phrase, "When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today." There was loss, but it was gain to others. And we're part of that tomorrow, if you like. And as a result, we enjoy freedom, and we enjoy safety, and we enjoy fulfillment. There was a point to the sacrifice. And Jesus' sacrifice was exceedingly purposeful. And it gives us similar things in a spiritual way. Through him we have freedom and safety and fulfillment. On the cross, Jesus dealt with humanity's great enemy. That was our own sin, our own rebellion, our own shame. In the account in Matthew, it says, "Of his blood which was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." It's purposeful, you see. It brings true freedom. It brings true safety. It brings true fulfillment. Things which can only be found as we find our own failures and blame dealt with by the cross. Jesus died so that people like you and I can find forgiveness. He died for the forgiveness of many, so that people can know God, be right with God, be in God's family, know safety from his justice, know they have hope in the afterlife. It was very, very purposeful, Jesus going to the cross. And then the last step in our thoughts this morning is we respond personally. We respond personally. So at a service like this, we do respond personally, I hope. I don't know how you feel, have felt in the service. I don't know how you felt in the 2 minute silence. Or what words summarise what was going on as you thought about it. Perhaps you were grateful. Perhaps you were sad. Perhaps you were amazed. Perhaps you were humbled as you thought of the sacrifice of those service people. And there's a place for all those things. It's good on a day like today to respond personally. But I can say really that a personal response to Jesus' sacrifice is even more prominent. In fact, the things that he died for and achieved only become ours when we respond personally. We're to respond in faith, to believe we need Jesus, to confess to God what's been wrong in our lives, to ask him for mercy, to believe that through his cross we ourselves receive forgiveness. And as we respond personally, we find that freedom and that safety and that fulfillment that comes through him that affects this life and the next life. And it's shown very specifically in the Lord's Supper that Christians take. They take the bread and they take the wine, as Jesus instructed and as we read of here. Jesus didn't just say, look at the bread. He says, take it and eat it. He didn't just say, look at the cup. He says, drink from it, all of you. It was showing the disciples that they needed Jesus, that they needed what he had done for themselves. They need to take it in faith. And it's good to ask ourselves, have we responded personally to the sacrifice of Jesus? Have we made it our own by placing our trust in him, by confessing our sins, by turning to him? Will that be the response that we have if it hasn't been here until now? Sacrifice is something to respond to personally in our reflections today. But also the sacrifice of Jesus warrants us individually to respond in repentance and faith. Well, as we move from thinking about those reflections on that passage, we're going to sing our last song, a well-known song, which is especially reflecting on the sacrifice which the Lord Jesus made on the cross, and is a song, as you'll notice, of a lot of personal response to what he has done. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Shall we stand to sing? Oh Lord, do help us then to reflect on this day for the sacrifice made by so many. But help us also to remember, perhaps to understand for the first time in a fresh way, the epic sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, on the cross to pay the price of sin. And may we place our trust in him so that we personally enjoy it for ourselves. Praying in his name. Amen.